The mystery of the kingdom, the hope of glory. Give you guys a little insight into my week. Normally I start working on the message for next Sunday. I would start on Sunday evening before. Look at it on Monday, continue to read it, think about it. Tuesday morning I meet with a group of ministers. And Rich is involved, so you know that some of the stuff comes from him. he's going to disclaim that one. But we meet together and we discuss the text and the challenges with it, and we have a great time of fellowship as well. And that's the process I went through this week. And so Tuesday evening, I was working kind of on an outline of where I was going to go, and had pretty much an idea. And then Wednesday and Thursday, my week took a different turn. Things happened that were unexpected, and on their own were not that big a deal, but cumulatively, they took a toll on me. And so I just didn't feel right about what I had been working on. And so by Friday morning, I had decided I couldn't share that message, maybe for another time. So I began praying and thinking, and my mind kept drifting back to a song. And it's a song with an incredibly creative title. It's called The Hope Song. It had to be about 1977 or 78. I was a junior in high school, and I remember this song clearly. It was a time in my life when I was just really in love with Jesus, loved the things of the Lord, and yet, like everyone at that age, there were a lot of distractions in my life, as you can imagine, you know, adolescence for one thing, looming adulthood, life-changing choices that were coming up. All of these things were all continually drawing me away from Jesus. It kept making me need to recenter. That song always seemed to help me recenter. I remember playing it so much that I was afraid that there was going to be a groove that went all the way through the record and the needle would never come out. Now, for those of you under the age of 35, a record is a big black thing that we used to spin on a turntable and put a needle on to make music. The name of the band back then was called The Hope of Glory. And they took their name for their group from the verses that Barb just read. The mystery is Jesus within you, the hope of glory. Now, for most of the last 12 months, if you've been paying attention, it's okay if you haven't, I've begun the service with the same sentence of Scripture. For if anyone is in Christ, this is Paul saying the same thing that he says to the Colossian church. If anyone is in Christ, there's something new. There's something happening. This encouraging Scripture is a corollary to what he tells the Colossians in the letter that we read today. Christ opens us up to limitless possibilities for the future. Jesus within us is our hope. Now, many of us probably view that hope as eternal life after we die. That's our hope. Well, and it is. You're right about that. But the thing we constantly forget is that eternal life is eternal in both directions. Eternal life has already started. It's also our hope right now. Jürgen Moltmann is a theologian, and he's often called the theologian of hope. And he says that Jesus within us allows us to see things around us, not only as they are, but also as they could be. Because of Jesus within us, the future is not a closed door. Because of Jesus within us, the future is full of possibilities. And because each one of us is unique, those possibilities are limitless. I was hiking in the North Carolina mountains one summer of 1980. And I remember coming up to a small creek, a small stream, and watching the water rush across the rocks on the bottom. And there was one large rock right in the middle. And the water would hit that rock and then split. Now, there are other little rocks underneath that the water flowed. The water went right over the top of those. But this big rock was too tall, so the water had to part and go around it. Now, every once in a while, water would splash over the top of it, but it had to go around it. And then as I'm standing there watching this, a leaf blows off a tree upstream, hits the water, and begins floating down. It bounces off of other rocks. It hits that big rock, rolls around, and then keeps on going downstream. And I remember thinking to myself, what great adventures is that little leaf going to see as it goes down that stream? The possibilities are unlimited of what could happen. But the possibilities for the rock were very limited. It wasn't going anywhere. Because of Jesus within us, we are not stuck like the rock. We are like the leaf floating on top, looking for a new adventure every few feet. But we're not exactly like the rock. We're not exactly like the leaf, because the leaf was random. The leaf just bounced from thing to thing. But our hope in Jesus within us also means that we've been gifted with a holy imagination. Jesus within us means that we have been gifted with a holy imagination. Another theologian, her name is Cynthia Rigby. Now that's Eleanor's daughter. That was a joke for the over 50 crowds. She's really not. Cynthia Rigby, however, was a classmate of mine at Princeton about 30 years ago, and she's gone on to become a brilliant theologian out of Austin Seminary. And she wrote an article recently on hope. And in that article, she relates a story. She has a 13-year-old son who's in the band. And she goes to the band concert, like a good parent, with an auditorium filled with other good parents and grandparents, and a few really, really good friends who go to a junior high band concert. She goes to this concert and is sitting there going through the motions, listening to her child play, but it's all part of the routine. They play well. They go through the repertoire of songs that they have. And then everyone applauds, and they're all excited. And she says, okay, now I can think about it. I got to go to the grocery store, and then we got to go home, and we got to get everybody ready for bed and get baths and so forth. But as she's preparing to leave, the band conductor turns to the audience and says, we would like you to help us. If you can wait just a few more minutes, we have a sight reading contest coming up in a few weeks. And the band needs to practice. Now, in a sight reading contest, what happens is the students are given sheet music that they can't open. And then they get 8 minutes to look at the music. And when the 8 minutes is up, they have to play it. So we're going to simulate that, is what the band director said. And you're going to watch us. So all the parents, you could tell we're shuffling, waiting. This is going to set us back 15 minutes. I'm never going to get all this done. So here's what Miss Crowley did, the band conductor. She sets a timer for 8 minutes. Then she turns to the students who are all sitting there still in their chairs with their instruments in their laps. And she says, okay, pick up your music. They pick it up. It's sealed. Open the music. They open it. She hits the timer. Now, what happened next was quite amazing. Because Miss Crowley picks up her baton and she says, "Ready, begin." Now the musicians don't move. They're all sitting in their chairs with their instruments in their laps in the resting position, yet they're engaged. They're engaged with the sheet music in front of them. Not a sound is being heard except for Miss Crowley as she begins humming to them the music that's in front of them. She begins waving her baton. The eyes of the students begin darting back and forth between Miss Crowley and the sheet music. Then she says to them, "Okay, here's the melody. There's the rhythm. Careful, careful. That's a B natural. That's not a B flat. Now, up, up, up with the crescendo right here. Here's where it goes. Now watch me for the cutoff right now. Engage with the passion right now. Here it is. Now measure 90. Don't play B flat again. This is a natural." And on she goes until the timer goes ding. Then she readjusts the music, lifts up her stand, and the kids begin to play. Every 13-year-old student there began to play. For 8 minutes, they had been riveted both to the music and to Miss Crowley, and then they had been lost. But as soon as it became time to unleash the imagination that they had been feeling, they put it into their instruments. Then, to the amazement of the audience, these 13-year-old kids began to play boldly, not tentatively, but boldly, a piece of music they had only seen for 8 minutes. It was music that they had already experienced. And now they were able to give that experience out to the audience in front of them. Jesus encourages us to use our holy imagination, listening and experiencing the Jesus within us. It means that we can interpret the painful, sometimes seemingly random parts of life that are flowing around us. But they don't have to be stuck, and we don't have to be stuck. But instead, we can be free to move downstream with them, reinterpreting them through the holy imagination of Jesus within us. Hope, not fear. Dynamic movement, not static acceptance. Jesus within us, the hope of glory. Praise be to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.